to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2 for our PCL this morning. 1 John chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. Just listen along. And again, yesterday, who can raise your hand and tell me what we talked about yesterday? Yes? Yes, right. I love my Bible. And so, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you just, I don't know if Mr. David's done this yet, but sometimes he'll ask, like, what do the evangelists preach, all right? So here's a review. Monday night, we talked about Christian Life 101. ABCs. Yep, that's right. The ABCs, Christian Life 101. Tuesday morning, yesterday, we talked about I love my Bible. Last night, it was illuminating our idolatry, all right? At some point, Mr. David's probably going to, one of you guys, to get like the smiley faces or frowny faces on the bottom of your plates. He's probably going to ask you, so I'm trying to help you to remember that, all right? And this morning, for our PCL, again, something else practical. I mentioned a little bit last night, but I want to delve more into it this morning, and that is this idea of worldliness, okay? Worldliness. And so that's, I don't have a fancy title this morning, that's the title, okay? Worldliness. And so let's look at 1 John chapter 2. And verse 15 through 17, some of you guys probably have these verses memorized already. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's pause and ask for the Lord's help this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the strength you give us to get up and to move about and have fun and to, Lord, just to enjoy what camp has to offer. And now for the next few moments, here for our PCL, would you still our minds and our hearts? I pray this would be a practical help to the young people, would help us to understand what worldliness is all about, and to make sure that we're living lives that are pleasing to you. So fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross. May you be exalted this morning, for you alone are worthy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, worldliness is a phrase, it's a term that you hear preachers use sometimes, or hear other, if you listen to podcasts, or if you listen to any type of thing that's Christian-based, you'll often hear the term worldly or worldliness. But we need to have an understanding of what exactly does that mean, because sometimes I think we hear the term, and we're not really sure. We kind of have an idea, but we're not really sure what is worldliness, all right? And so worldliness, is it just whatever pertains to this earth, whatever is in the world? Is it like the sky and the trees and the oceans and the mountains and the animals and houses or cars or money or food or, is that what we're talking about? That's not what we're talking about, young person, all right? I want you to understand this, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. That worldliness, when the Bible talks about, here in 1 John, to love not the world, okay? Worldliness is not talking first and foremost about physical things, but a spiritual condition, okay? It's not first and foremost talking about physical, material things, but it's talking about a spiritual condition. Now, it certainly, as we'll see here in just a little bit, it certainly can involve physical things that we touch and see and taste and smell and all that kind of stuff, okay? But first and foremost, it's an attitude of the heart, all right? It's a spiritual condition. And so let me give you a couple points this morning. Again, hopefully just be very practical to you. Number one, what's the description? The description of worldliness. And again, the Bible lays it out for us very clearly. So you should be able to go home later this week, and you should know whenever you hear a preacher talking about what's worldly or worldliness, you should think of 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, because it tells us very clearly what that is, okay? And it says this in verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So John, back up a little bit. John says in verse 15, love not the world. And the way that it's written in the original language and in the grammar structure, I'm not a huge English student, okay? But I understand enough to know that the way that this is written is basically people that John was writing to were in love with some things of the world. And so it's like he's saying, stop it. You stop loving the world. Love not the world. Okay, but then he describes for them, because maybe they had the same thought. Well, John, what are you talking about? And so John doesn't say, stop going to the beach, stop going fishing, stop enjoying walking through the woods. No, what's he talking about? He says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So this is the description. These three things, everything that is we consider spiritually worldly in the sense of what we need to avoid, okay, falls into one of these three categories. By the way, it's very interesting because Eve in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent, okay, Satan using the serpent, tempted her with these three things. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, I think it's verse number 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. So Satan hits her with all three of these things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, also Luke chapter 4, both of those chapters describe the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, same thing. Satan uses these three avenues, all right, these three areas of temptation, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, okay? So that is the description. Now, let's take each of those and look a little bit more in depth at each of those. So first of all, the lust of the flesh. By the way, just so we're all on the same page, what does the term lust mean? In its simplest definition. A what?
An unhealthy desire.
An unhealthy desire, sure, okay. And so, is that what you were going to say? Did he take it?
A strong desire.
A strong desire, right? It has the idea of a desire. Desire, okay? So when you see that word, think about the word desire. Okay, so the lust of the flesh or the desire of the flesh, what is that? That is to enjoy the world or to do things. Okay, I'm going to give you a little phrase after each of these to help you understand. So lust of the flesh is anything to enjoy the world or to do things. These are desires that appeal to our physical senses. All right, taste, touch, hear, see, smell. All right, the world says, if you want to be cool, if you want to fit in, if you want to live life, then you have to do these certain things. That's the lie of the devil. That's what the world says, right? If you want to be a cool teenager, again, if you want to be accepted. Again, I just want to see who I'm talking to. How many guys are homeschooled? Christian school? Public school? Okay, all right. And so, again, as you get to know more people, whether it's through work, whether it's through school, whether it's in your own neighborhood, right? You'll begin to feel what's called peer pressure, right? The idea that you have to conform, you have to do a certain thing in order to fit in, and it's very, very, very common. Something every teenager deals with. Right? In fact, adults deal with it too. maybe not to the same extent, or there's different situations, but still, you guys feel peer pressure. And so you often maybe face that temptation of, well, if I have to fit in, I have to do this, right? Lust of the flesh. What are we talking about? We're talking about whether it's smoking or vaping or drugs or alcohol or porn or any kind of fulfilling physical desires outside of marriage, right? It could be, maybe it's not even those things. Maybe it's eating too much. Do you know that, like, if you can't get a hold of you have to have like dessert at every single meal. No, by the way, if you have dessert like every meal here, I'm not just, like, talking about that, all right? Unless you know God doesn't want you to, okay? Unless you're like, I shouldn't go back for that second oatmeal pie. I had oatmeal pie yesterday. Wow. Wow. Let's not get distracted, okay? that was a good oatmeal pie. Anyways, what I'm saying is that, like, if you can't, maybe it's Krispy Kreme donuts. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Okay, anybody else with me? Thank you very much. All right. If you don't, you know, you just need to get right with God. It could be like. Okay, I really don't need to eat three of these donuts right now. That could be a lust of the flesh. That could be something that's out of balance. Okay, so it could be necessarily not drugs or alcohol or something like that. It could just be like we're following the desires of our flesh, which again, God gave us a desire to eat, but Satan, what he loves to do is he loves to take things to an excess. He loves to take things to an extreme where we don't really need that much. It could be sleeping too much. Okay, it could be like, you know, some of you guys, when you're on summer vacation, you don't see the light of day till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, and again, I'm all for getting rest, but again, things can get out of balance. And does God really want us to be wasting away the day like that? Okay, and so there's a lot of different applications we can make. It could be an excess, like we talked about last night, the excess of a hobby, something that not necessarily in itself is sin, but taken to an extreme, it's out of balance. And so we're more focused on enjoying the world than enjoying our relationship with God. And so anything that is harmful, young person, anything that's harmful to our bodies, mark it down. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says this. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man if any man makes dirty, if any man pollutes the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So anything that we do that would be harmful to it, okay, it's not God's will. There's a young man that is not in my home church, but he is connected to a family that's in my home church. And he recently, this past weekend, I heard that he ended up in the hospital. Why? Because he was messing with all these types of pills. And drugs like, meth or cocaine or, you know, whatever, anything like that. He's just, it's over-the-counter stuff. But he's messing with it, and he's putting them together in such a way that makes him feel good. And guess what? He wound up in the hospital. He almost died. He went into all these seizures, and he's been, I think as of now, he's regaining some of his cognitive abilities. But he was basically a vegetable for a couple of days, and very nearly died because of the lust of the flesh. I want to enjoy this. This makes me feel good. But that is not of God, young person. It's anything that's harmful to our bodies, it's not God's will. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, the former desires in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or your lifestyle. Or anything as well that takes the place of our walk with God, again, talking about excessive hobbies, is not God's will. And so worldliness, first of all, from the lust of the flesh, we get this idea. Worldliness is wicked or wasteful living. Worldliness is wicked or wasteful living. Again, I'm not talking about going fishing or playing a board game or riding a horse or shooting a gun. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about things that are obviously against God's will and against God's nature. Okay, wicked or wasteful living. All right, so that's the lust of the flesh, to enjoy the world or to do things. Secondly, we have the lust of the eyes. If you're taking notes, this is to possess the world or to have things. So lust of the flesh, to enjoy the world, to do things. Lust of the eyes is to possess the world or to have things. And what we're talking about here is a covetous, greedy heart. Okay, if you have a Bible, I want you to take it and go to Luke chapter 12. If not, just listen along. But if you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 12, and I want you to see a statement and then a parable that Jesus gives. All right, so again, we're talking about the description of worldliness, lust of the flesh, now the lust of the eyes. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15, all right? Listen as I read. Luke 12, 15. And he said, that is Jesus, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Did you get that? Our life doesn't consist, our status in life, how cool we think we are, it doesn't consist, it doesn't matter about how many toys that we have. And I say toys, not like little kid toys. I know you guys are teens, but you know what? As we get older, our toys just get more expensive, right? And, whatever we're talking about, all right? Our life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that we have, how big our bank accounts are, how many possessions that we have, all right? And then he gives this parable. Look at verse 16, Luke 12, 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have... no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You had a guy here that was just like, he was living high off the hog, right? He's a wealthy guy. He's like, man, my crown has brought forth really plentifully, and so it's making me a lot of money. And man, I got these barns, but man, I'm getting so much stuff. And so I'm gonna tear down the barns I have. I'm going to build greater barns. I got so much stuff. I'm so wealthy. And God comes to them and says, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because this night, your soul is going to be required of God. This night, in other words, again, if God takes you to himself to be judged, right, you can't take your stuff with you. And so Jesus says, so is he that's rich toward himself, right, that just wants to get everything for himself, but is not rich toward God. Is not laying up treasure in heaven, we could say. Okay? And so, young person, understand, the lust of the eyes is this desire, this greed. I have to have this. Again, if I go back to peer pressure, if I want to fit in, I got to have the newest phone or the newest computer, the latest fashion and clothing and shoes, and maybe the most updated video game. Maybe someone's here this morning and you're just like, well, I just want to live to make money. I want to get the most money that I can. Now, money in itself is not wrong, right? You got to have money to live. You got to have money to put gas in your car when you get a car, and you got to have money when you go out on your own to pay your bills. If you don't pay your bills, you're going to have problems. I'm just telling you that. Okay? So money in itself is not bad, but the Bible says, you guys know this, the what is the root of all evil? The love of money. The love of money, the desire for it. And so maybe you're here this morning, you're like, well, that's kind of my goal. I just want to grow up. I want to make the most money I get. That's the lust of the eyes. That's this desire to possess, to have the world, to get as much as you can. And God says that's a wrong desire. That is worldliness. That shows that we are not being content with the things that God has given to us. Again, I'm reading Matthew 6 this week, and I read a different chapter every week. This year, I'm doing something new, and instead of reading through my Bible, I'm just taking one chapter a week, so 52 chapters this year. And I'm just reading through it every day and trying to learn from it, meditate upon it, and really grab a hold of that chapter. And this week is Matthew chapter 6. And so I'm reading about, again, Jesus says, don't take any thought for tomorrow. What are we going to eat? What are we going to put on? What are we, how are we going to live, right? Jesus, don't worry about those things. Don't live for those things. Don't live for, man, I got to have this stuff and I want so much more, right? Jesus says, God's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of us. And so don't set your heart upon those earthly possessions, those material things. Set your heart instead, what's it say, Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so, again, we see here, the heart of worldliness is this greed, is this covetousness. And so, from the lust of the flesh, we see that worldliness is wicked or wasteful living. From the lust of the eyes, we see that worldliness is a focus on material things. All right? Lust of the flesh, worldliness is wasteful, wicked living. Lust of the eyes, worldliness is a focus on material things. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so that's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And then thirdly, what's the third description back in 1 John chapter 2 of worldliness? It says, and the pride of life. The pride of life. This is a desire to be honored in the world or to be somebody. Okay, lust of the flesh, to enjoy, to do things. Lust of the eyes, to possess, to have things. Pride of life is a desire to be honored in the world or to be somebody. And from this, we learn that worldliness is a love for self. Worldliness is wicked and wasteful living. Worldliness is a focus on material things. And worldliness, simply put, is a love for self, right? You guys, listen, I don't, whether you realize it or not, you have been tempted with the pride of life. All of us are very selfish creatures apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us want to have our name, whether we admit it or not, all of us want to have our name in the bright lights. We want to have a following. We want to be known. We want people to look at us. We want to be somebody. That's the pride of life. The pride of life. And in the Christian life, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, right, he humbles himself. He's God himself. But he's willing to lay all that aside for a time, not his Godhead. He never ceased being God. Don't misunderstand me, right? He was willing to lay aside the glories of heaven to come to this earth. He humbled himself, and his whole life was putting other people first. His whole life was not about himself. It was about other people. And that's still his life, by the way, okay? In his intercession for us, in his advocacy work in heaven, right? He is still all about other people. And he sets that example for us. And so the pride of life, do you have a love for yourself this morning? Do you desire so much that people would see you and recognize you? Can you not wait till Mr. Fry says, who got the highest score on this? Now, again, I'm not saying that tonight you automatically have sin in your heart because you're like, well, I got the highest score. But what I'm saying is that can you not wait until people know, yeah, I'm the best. I did this the best. That's the pride of life. That's the pride of life. And we have to always, young person, listen, we have to always ask God to put his humility within us, to humble ourselves, all right? It's not about us. It's about other people, okay? And so the pride of life, worldliness is a love for self. Okay, so that's the description. And don't worry, that's the meat of the message, okay, this morning, right? That's the description of worldliness. Lust of the flesh. Let's review. Lust of the flesh. My mind just went blank. To enjoy the world, all right? To do. Worldliness is wicked and wasteful living, okay? Lust of the eyes, to possess, to have the world. Worldliness is a focus on material things. And then the pride of life, to be somebody, to be honored in the world. Worldliness is a love for self, all right? Secondly, this morning, the damage. So that's the description of worldliness. Secondly, what's the damage of worldliness? Well, first of all, it separates us from God. Worldliness, true worldliness, what we're talking about, all right, in a sinful sense, separates us from God. Notice again what our text says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, let me quickly say this. I heard a preacher one time say that means these people aren't saved. I very kindly disagree with that. Okay? It's important. You guys can understand this. It's important to remember all the New Testament epistles, letters, okay, are written to believers, to Christians. Now, there's application for those that don't know God, for the lost, okay? But they're all written towards believers. And he doesn't say that they don't know God personally, okay? He says, at this time, it's present tense word, at this time, the love of the Father is not dwelling in you. In other words, like we talked about last night, no man, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. And so if you are in love right now with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then right now the love of the Father is not filling you and flowing through. Does that make sense? Okay? It doesn't mean you're not saved. It means that worldliness, that sin, whatever it is, has separated you in your relationship with God. That you're not close to Him. Again, they can't coexist. Love for the world and love for God can't coexist at the same time. You guys see those bumper stickers coexist, right? And, you know, they're all different types of religions, and that's what the world says. The world wants every religion to coexist and every way of life, and, you know, don't dismiss my way of life. That's progress, and we want to tolerate everybody today. But listen, love for the world and love for God, they can't coexist, right? Only God, as we talked about last night, only God is the one true God who deserves our utmost love and loyalty. And so it damages us because it separates us from God. But secondly, it damages us, this idea of worldliness, because it soils our testimony. It soils our testimony. We, as God's people, are to be distinctly different from the ungodly world system. And when we're not, young person, it's hard to claim that we're children of God. Does that make sense? It's hard to tell other people, well, yeah, I'm a child of God, and I love God. When they look at your life, and it's like, well, I don't see any difference between you and me. We listen to the same thing. We watch the same shows. We do the same stuff, right? It's hard to claim that we're children of God and God's made a difference in our life when we're living in a worldly manner. Again, it soils our testimony. I've seen young people and even adults, right, in their test, they try to witness to somebody, they try to invite somebody to church, and that goes nowhere. Because, again, they're not living for God. And so there's no weight to that testimony. There's no weight to that invitation, right? And so that's why God says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is heaven. None of us are perfect, all right? None of us are perfect. But we should be living in such a way that other people can say, wow, I see a difference in that individual. They got peace and they got joy and they're respectful. And a lot of teenagers are not respectful today, but man, they're respectful to their mom and dad and to their teachers. And I see a difference there. Again, when you live for God, when you get rid of worldliness, it adds so much more power to our testimony for God, okay? And so that's the damage of worldliness. It separates us from God. It soils our testimony. And then lastly here, I got 5 minutes. Lastly, I want you to see the disappearance of worldliness. The disappearance of worldliness, all right? Back in 1 John chapter 2, don't miss this, all right? Don't miss this, what it says. After John says, stop loving the things of the world, gives the description of what worldliness is, he says in verse 17, and the world passeth away. The world passeth away. In case you missed it, the world passes away. And all the lusts thereof, it says, all those desires, all the things that we think we have to really enjoy life, it says that they pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Everything that we know and sinfully love about this current world, one day it's going to be gone. It's not going to be around forever. And so, young person, don't live for that which is fleeting, for that which is momentary. Live for the eternal, that which will never pass away. Again, he that does the will of God, he that gives his life to God and says, you know, I'm just going to serve you, Lord, and I want to live separate, I want to make a difference. It says that that person abides forever, right? And the fruit that they lay up in heaven abides forever. And so don't forget, don't think that you can always, you know, always be able to enjoy this or that. No, it's momentary. It's fleeting, right? It doesn't last. The world passes away. And so this morning, if you say in your heart, Brother Will, I think I got some worldliness in my life. Those categories, I think there's some things and I'm currently in love with. What's the cure? Well, the cure for a wrong love is a right love. And what's the right love? Mark 12, verse number 30. Mark 12, verse 30. Greatest commandment, Jesus says. Remember, somebody came to Jesus and said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says in Mark 12, 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so the cure for, if we have any wrong types of love, any worldliness, is to, again, like we talked about last night, confess it, forsake it, and then ask God to fill you with his love. Love God with all your heart. You know, that's a very simple reason, right? If you want to boil it down, why do we sin? Why do we love follow after these certain things, right? It's because we love ourselves more than we love God. That's a very simple reason, okay? We love ourselves more than we love God. And so the Christian life, we'll kind of talk about a little bit tonight, okay, in the message tonight. First step is denying ourselves. Denying ourselves, denying what we want, and putting God first and loving him with all of our hearts, all right? So I hope that's a help when you hear the term worldliness, that you can now think of 1 John chapter 2, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I hope going through those categories helps you pinpoint maybe some things in your own life. And again, if that's the case, confess it, make it right, and love God with all your heart, all right? Lord, thank you for this morning, and I pray you help these young people, help all of us. Lord, if we have areas of worldliness, true spiritual worldliness that displeases you, Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to make that right and give us a love for you above everything else, God. Can you give us safety as we go throughout the rest of this day? Help our hearts to be tender towards you, and thank you for all you do for us in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.